Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is special coverage on WNYC of the Women's March on Washington, the local edition here in New York, and for that matter, the apparently scores of other rallies and marches being held in solidarity and to protest Donald Trump around the country and around the world today. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Brian Lehrer, along with WNYC's Andrea Bernstein. Andrea, the New York and Washington rallies have been going on for a few hours already, and you were at the New York rally a little while ago, weren't you?
I was at the rally as it was assembling. I think it's actually getting underway as a formal rally just about now, but it was already quite crowded around Grand Central Terminal, walking all the way from there to the UN, packed with, strikingly, a lot of families with children.
Also with us for this special coverage are WNYC reporters Shamita Basu and Sarah Barrett at the New York March, Yasmin Khan in Washington, and New York Times national political correspondent Amy Chozick in Washington. We'll bring them all in a minute. We also have excerpts of some of the speeches. We'll play a little Gloria Steinem in a minute from a speech she gave a short time ago in D.C., and we'll have other speeches. We'll also go to the stage live for periods of time at the D.C. location. And listeners, you are part of this special coverage, too. If you are attending any of the marches or rallies, you're invited to call in if you're listening at the event and tell us why you're marching and what you hope to accomplish. If you've got a sign or if you're wearing a piece of clothing that makes a statement of any kind, you can tell us what it is. If you're at home because you chose not to go or you couldn't go for physical reasons but are moved by this in any way that you want to say out loud, you can attend virtually, if not in person, by calling up and making your public statement here on the radio. And for anyone not in tune with these marchers, if you chose not to go because you think this is the wrong message or the wrong time, you can join our coverage too. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number for everybody, 212-433-9692. And let's go right to Washington, D.C., where WNYC's Yasmin Khan is standing by. Yas, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hi.
Hey, set the scene for us. Where are you? What's happening?
Well, I'm actually at, like, two blocks away from the rally and the march area, but it's kind of hard to tell because there are people everywhere. There are women and men in those, you know, hand-knit pussy hats. Lots of people holding signs. I'm seeing signs like, keep abortion legal. Women want fairness for all Americans. This is not okay. People keep arriving on this scene, but I think they're trying to direct crowds to sort of flow into one part of the mall area. You know, the rally's happening now, and then they won't march until after 1 o'clock, I think closer to 2 o'clock. So that's when the crowds will start to move.
I see we have a woman named Molly on another line. Is that someone who you set up to talk to us?
I did.
So, Shamita, stay there, and let's see if we can bring Molly in, too. Molly, you there?
Here. Hello.
Hello from New York. Brian Lehrer here with Andrea Bernstein. Where are you from?
I am born and raised in Portland, living in Sacramento, and here with a group of us in D.C.
That's a long way to come for this march. How'd you get there?
It sure is. We train, plane, and automobile pretty much every way we could.
The whole John Candy movie wrapped up into one.
There you go.
I hope not.
And why are you there today, Molly? What's the message you're trying to send?
You know, I think that's a really good question. I think a lot of us, right after the election, felt really stagnant. And, you know, we couldn't just sit there, complain. We couldn't just sit there and read articles and share articles. We needed to be a part of it. And I'm here just to kind of say, I dissent. I don't believe that you are the right person to lead this country, and I don't believe in what you stand for, and I want to be a part of unity and peace and love.
It sounds broader than the statement, women's rights are human rights, and we're here, and don't take our women's rights away.
You know, to me it is. Obviously, that's a part of it, but to me it's more about humanity and unity all around. I mean, Black Lives Matter, Islam Matters. I just think people of this country need to know that everyone here marching today says you all belong, you are all safe in the America that we want it to be.
I gather you're near the stage. Anything you've heard so far from a speaker that has moved you?
Yeah, we were blessed enough to get close enough to hear Gloria Steinem this morning, which started some of the waterworks and I think really just got us feeling live and ready for this march. It's been great.
The waterworks. Molly, thank you very much. We really appreciate you giving us a few minutes.
Thank you, guys.
And WNYC, Shamita Bash, Yasmin Khan, we gather you have, we do have WNYC Shamita Basu at 47th and 2nd at the New York March, and I think she's got somebody for us to talk to. Shamita, can you
hear
me?
That's right. Yeah, I can hear you, Brian. Can you hear me?
Just fine. Hi.
I'm kind of in the overspill of the crowd that's waiting across the street from the rally. And I've been walking around, I've been speaking to people. There's some great creative signs out, but I'm actually going to pass the phone right now to Tamara. And she's going to speak to you about why she's marching today. Just a minute.
Great. Shamita Basu.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Tamara. Thanks for joining us. You're live on the air. Tell us about yourself. Who are you and why are you there?
My name is Tamara Jenkins, and my husband and I are union actors, and we run the Harbor Lights Theater Company, which is a not-for-profit theater company in Staten Island. And we are here marching for equal rights for all people, for LGBT rights, for rights for the disabled, for women's reproductive rights, and in support of the NEA, which we are very disturbed to hear is under threat right now by the Trump administration.
Now, there are a few NEAs that are under threat by the Trump administration. One would be the Teachers Union, the National Education Association. I have a feeling you mean the National Endowment for the Arts.
Yes, I am.
Hey,
National Endowment of the Arts is a very important funder for not-for-profit. And as you would know, and we're very concerned about that as well.
Hey, Molly, this is Andrea Bernstein. I'm wondering if you, I was just down there, and I am just back from the UN area, and one thing that was quite striking to me is there were a lot of multi-generational groups, and I'm wondering if you're there with a multi-generational group, and if you have, if you're a frequent marcher or if you're new to marching and activism.
Well, are you talking to me, to Tamara?
Yes, Tamara.
Tamara, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. No. I am here with my husband and with our 8-year-old daughter, Emerson, and this is her first march. I have marched a few other times, but it's been a very long time for me since I was in college. So I'm very inspired by what I'm seeing here today and encouraged. There was a gentleman behind me that said, that he was feeling very down and that he feels much better having been here around the energy here, the positive energy and the excitement of all these people who believe in the dignity of human rights.
And Tamara, I'm wondering, were you active during the campaign at all?
I was. I was active with as much as I could be with, sorry, it's getting really jammed here because we're about to start walking. I was active with a lot of online activities and support financially.
Anything that you heard from the stage there now that you're about to kick off to the march portion of the New York rally? Anything you heard from the stage that was particularly moving or inspiring or that you would want to repeat?
Well, there's so many people here that we couldn't hear a word except the screaming of the crowd. But we joined in screaming anyway when everybody else was.
Even your own screaming can be inspiring words. Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you very much for giving us a few minutes.
Thank you for the work you do.
Thank you very much. I want to play about a minute of Gloria Steinem's speech. This was, I guess, about 45 minutes ago or so at the Washington rally. She talks about the upside of the downside.
This is the upside of the downside. This is an outpouring of energy and true democracy like I have never seen in my very long life. It is wide in age, it is deep in diversity. And remember, the Constitution does not begin with I, the President. It begins with we, the people. So don't try to divide us. Do not try to divide us. If you force Muslims to register, we will all register as Muslims.
And Andrea Bernstein, that's an interesting thought. If they force, and I actually don't think that's a plan, as stated by her in that way exactly, of a Muslim registry. And I know one of Trump's cabinet nominees testified that that is not a plan. But if there were to be a Muslim registry everybody who's not a Muslim to go and sign up.
I have heard that plan. I've also heard with regards to NYC ID that everybody in New York should get one as an act of resistance, since those ID cards were encouraged for people who were undocumented in other ways. Just to go back to her upside of the downside, because I was also feeling this morning, obviously yesterday we're in a city that voted 80% for Hillary Clinton, and there were a lot of distraught people in New York City yesterday. And just looking at the numbers of people, and particularly the young women that were turning out, people who were 18, 19, 20 years old. These are people who have come of age in the Obama era and have never known anything but increasing progressivism. And I think this is the crowd that Hillary Clinton was hoping to ignite, and they seem to be ignited now and are really sort of turning out in a way that I think surprises even them, that they find themselves in a position of imminent defunding, for example, of Planned Parenthood. This is not theoretical. This is something that President Trump could do very, very soon.
With an act of Congress, it would take an act of Congress, but with the Republican majority and him willing to sign it,
right, exactly,
it could happen very, very soon. Let's take a phone call, and here's Bob in Pompton Plains. Hi, Bob. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian, a long-time listener.
Thank you very much. So there's a Pompton Plains edition of the march?
Yes, I was originally trying to go to Washington, couldn't go there. There was two buses leaving from my fellowship in Morristown, couldn't go there. Then I tried to go to Trenton. There were people going to Trenton from Morristown. I couldn't go there. So I tried to go to New York one. Again, I couldn't go there because, again, my time was limited today. So I went to the Morris Plains expecting only to see about a few hundred people. This was sponsored by a senior home. And there's thousands of people here. There's at least 2,000 or 3,000. I'm not very good at counting, but it's like an eight-block long march, and it's full of people in front of the post office.
Very interesting, Bob. Thank you. Thank you very much. So that's interesting, Andrea Bernstein. And I don't take his crowd estimate quite at face value. Who knows? Crowd estimates are hard. I don't think he's trained in it. Eight block jam with people. I don't know if that's thousands or if that's hundreds, but it's something. And it's an indication that even in Pompton Plains, New Jersey, there's enough of an outpouring that it would be eight blocks if it's eight blocks, and an indication of what's going on around the world today.
Right. I mean, I felt like it was hard for me to tell in the United Nations area between Grand Central, because it was you sort of didn't really ever get a chance to see the broad array of the march, although it was certainly crowded with people. And Grand Central Terminal right now is full and packed of people in pink hats and with balloons and signs. I think that there have been a few estimates that it's interesting. The D.C. Transit Agency actually tweeted out that there are 275,000 people that have used the Metro this morning, which was about 100,000 more than yesterday at this same time. And there have been a few news organizations that have tweeted out pictures. We're talking about in Washington, D.C., with the mall looking to be much fuller yesterday. And who happened to tweet this morning but Hillary Clinton, with her sort of with a tweet that said, "Hope not fear." And certainly Trump's inaugural address, where he talked about carnage, a nation of carnage, is the memorable phrase, I think, gave a lot of entree to both sort of opposition leaders and just ordinary people wanting to come out and make a statement. The inauguration speech wasn't an olive branch, and in some ways it gave an entree for people to come out and say, if you're not going to speak to us, then we're going to protest.
Let's take another phone call, and this is Shaney, if I'm saying your name right.
It's Shaney.
Shaney, you're at the New York City rally. Hi. You're at the New York City rally?
We are at the New York City rally. We are so excited to be here. The energy is beautiful. It's powerful. It's strong. It's feminine, with lots and lots of men and other people. It's wonderful. And I'm here with my 10-year-old daughter, fifth-grade daughter, and I'm with two friends with their daughters. And we're so happy and proud that they're here.
And Shaney, I'm going to jump in, and I appreciate your call, but I'm going to jump right off it because we're going to go live to the stage in D.C. right now, where it looks like Cecile Richards, the head of Planned Parenthood, is speaking right now. Let's listen.
We need to be moving quickly to try to pass restrictions on reproductive access, and we cannot let them. You need to call your member of Congress, call your senator, and say, we will not go back. One of us can be dismissed, two of us can be ignored, but together we are a movement and we are unstoppable. It is an honor to do this work alongside inspiring leaders like the woman standing next to me. Please welcome my friend, Kiara Johnson, Executive Director of URGE, Unite for Reproductive and Gender Equity.
I see some nasty women out there. So nasty. I see some nasty boys out there, too. Janet would be so proud.
My name is Kiara, and I'm the ED of Unite for Reproductive and Gender Equity. And I work with young people, and I am unapologetically abortion positive. That's not the only reason I'm here with you today. I want to talk to the young people in the crowd, those live streaming right now on Twitter and on Facebook. I want to say to you, thank you. For the young people who continue to be on the front lines and in the streets and who showed up at the polls and voted for equity, justice, and a better country. Thank you for forcing us to see the humanity at Standing Rock. Thank you. Thank you for reminding the world that Black Lives Matter. Thank you for letting us be in on the dreamer's dream. Thank you for boldly supporting the right to safe, legal, and accessible abortion in your states and nationally. Thank you for demanding to be seen, demanding to be heard, and demanding control of your destiny. But we know if someone else controls your body, it is them and not you that controls your destiny. State-sanctioned violence fueled by racism, sexism, and xenophobia, building walls at our borders, constructing jails in our communities, racial profiling, Muslim registries, funding cuts for poor families, restricting health care based on gender, and denying people the right to control how, when, and with who to build their families. These are all attempts to control us, not some of us, but all of us. Donald Trump is the president. Y'all, there's a million of y'all out here. Y'all should say boo louder. But the good news is he's working for us now. That means he needs to hear from us not just today, but tomorrow and every day of his presidency. We will not consent to your violence, Mr. Trump. We refuse to let politicians chart our destinies and steal our dignity. We will stand together in solidarity and work collectively for economic security, racial justice, reproductive freedom, and gender equity for all. Thank you.
The leader of the group Urge, I apologize, I don't have her name, speaking after Cecile Richards, the leader of Planned Parenthood, part of our live coverage of the Women's March on Washington and Women's March in New York today, as well as those around the world. This is special coverage on WNYC. We continue.
I'm Stephen Dubner. On the next Freakonomics Radio, what do the Italian Renaissance, the Tour de France, and the Civil Rights Movement have in common?
It's not that Da Vinci comes along and then all of a sudden the world is different.
It's all about prioritization, one step at a time.
In Praise of Incrementalism, that's next time on Freakonomics Radio. This afternoon at 4 on 93.9 FM, WNYC.
WNYC is supported by Harper Paperbacks, publisher of First Women, The Grace and Power of America's Modern First Ladies, from Jackie Kennedy to Michelle Obama, by the author of The Residence, Kate Anderson Brower, now in paperback.
WNYC's programs are made possible by our members. Thank you.
This is special coverage of the Women's March in Washington, the local edition here in New York, and for that matter, the apparently scores of other rallies and marches being held in solidarity and to protest Donald Trump around the country and around the world today. If you're just joining us, hi, I'm Brian Lehrer, along with WNYC's Andrea Bernstein. Andrea, I don't know what the crowd estimate is in Washington. I guess we'll hear about that later. I know they were hoping for 200,000 people. I was looking up some of the biggest marches in history, according to the website Business Insider Today this morning. You ready for this? About 250,000 people at the famous Martin Luther King I Have a Dream speech Civil Rights March on Washington in 1963. Another 250,000 marched in solidarity with the Air Traffic Controllers Union in 1981 after President Reagan fired all of them for an illegal strike. An anti-Vietnam War march on Washington in 1969 was estimated at more than 500,000. An LGBT march in 1993 was estimated at 800,000 to a million. Louis Farrakhan's so-called Million Man March in 1995, for which estimates vary widely, from 400,000 to more than a million, a big march either way. And, Andrea, an early title for today's march was the Million Woman March, riffing on that one. But maybe the difficulty of achieving an actual million people and giving someone the chance to portray you as losers for not maybe meeting your goal might have been a reason for dropping the word million?
Yeah. I mean, there it looks like it's big. CNN has reported that there are more people there than were there yesterday for the inauguration, which is more people did vote for Hillary Clinton, and certainly more Hillary Clinton or anti-Trump people live in Washington, D.C. I mean, I do think it is interesting how this march has really stayed on the issue of women's rights, because there's obviously so many things that people have been protesting with regards to President Trump. There's the possible proposed Muslim registry. There's what he said about immigrants and Mexicans, even yesterday in his inauguration speech. But from all of the pictures in D.C. and from the crowds in New York, it really was a very large crowd of women, girls, people wearing their pink knitted hats with pussy ears and an awful lot of discourse riffing off of Donald Trump and women. I saw a sign that said "Not up for grabs." I saw a sign, two girls of about 9 or 10 carrying a sign that said "Girls are fierce." So it has really stuck with that theme.
Despite bringing in
right.
the other corollary ideas, and, you know, that was an issue leading up to this march regarding what at least some people framed as confusion about the official message, it being a women's march, but the mission statement on the official Washington March website, including racial justice and environmental justice and immigration justice and LGBTQ justice. We heard Gloria Steinem talking about Muslim rights.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was some disagreement about at the sort of level of organization about the march, but the people that were going really had no idea. And they were just turning out to resist and stand up for women's rights. And of course, this is the, you know, the women's march was announced right after Hillary Clinton did not win the White House. And there was this tremendous feeling of loss among women that a woman didn't get to be in the White House. And people who are want to sort of reframe the discourse in the coming years are certainly showing out today in big numbers in our own city, in Washington, and around the country.
Some of the other biggest marches in the U.S., there was a Philadelphia event branded a Million Woman March in 1997, 2 years after the Million Man one, with, again, varying estimates from 700,000 to 2 million. I guess they meant the word million seriously, but not literally. Here in New York, they say a million people came together in and around Central Park in 1982 against nuclear weapons. That one aimed at President Ronald Reagan. In 2004, there was a big pro-choice march in D.C., 500,000 to 1 million people, the website Business Insider says. And just before the Iraq War, on the weekend of February 15th, 2003, they say 60 million people are believed to have protested in total around the world against the impending Bush invasion. So we'll see if that rivals, if today rivals that in any way, as the Times has published a map showing march locations in 60 different countries all the way to Antarctica. And so as we invite your calls, folks, listeners, I wonder if some of you know anyone in a far-flung place who's rallying. Do you know anyone in London or Seoul or Johannesburg or Mexico City or Antarctica or anywhere else? All those places are among those listed with rallies today, who you can call and ask them to call us at U.S. country code followed by 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I wonder if the emphasis is different in different places. We have a caller from someone far flung by New York standards, and that's Michael in Little Rock, Arkansas. Michael, thank you so much for calling. Hello from New York.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm down here at the capital of Arkansas, and we probably have at least 5,000 men, women, and children down here right now, and they're still coming up from what I can see. I'm kind of on the side of the capitol steps, and on the grounds, but I'm just amazed at how many people have showed up, especially people with disabilities. As a member of National ADAPT, that just amazes me.
Why are you there, Michael? What's the importance of this for you?
Disability rights and freedom of people to have rights all around the world, not just disability rights, but human rights altogether. We cannot promote hate. And hate is the beginning of ending human rights, and we got to promote love instead of hate.
Michael,
that's why I'm marching.
Thank you so much for checking in with us from Little Rock. We really appreciate it. Here is Amber from Brooklyn calling from the D.C. March. Hi, Amber.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes.
Hi, yes, thank you. I'm so excited.
So where are you? What's it like around you? What are you seeing?
My sister and I, my sister came from Hawaii. We just walked by the White House, and we are with like 200,000 other, you know, men and women who are, you know, standing up for human rights.
And what's the focus of the message for you? Human rights is a pretty broad term. What are you thinking about?
It is, you know, I stand up for women. Women are amazing. They're unbreakable. We're strong as hell. Every day we go to work, we come home. In the morning we wake up and get our kids fed and out to school. And no matter what happens, we have to wake up in the morning and do that.
Do you find that people from different generations are pretty much marching from the same thing? I know for the same things. I know there's been a lot of conversation about the organizers of the march originally being from the sort of older professional feminist white class, and, you know, then getting in messages from more diverse feminist groups, class diverse, race diverse, age diverse, third wave feminism, quote unquote.
Well, here is everyone is here together. Everyone is united. Everyone is supportive of each other. There are people of all races and nationalities and age groups, and we are all here together. And I have only seen support and unity here.
Thank you very much for chiming in. We really appreciate it. Let's see. I think we're going to go back to the stage. Who's speaking now? Oh. Okay. No, we don't have somebody at the podium right now at the stage. So, Andrea Bernstein, what might the results of a march like this be? I mean, Trump obviously did things during the campaign and had things revealed during the campaign that are so widely seen as anti-woman, but he hasn't proposed any specific policies yet or taken any actions as president, or hadn't when this was organized. That makes it different from opposing an invasion or a march for specific civil rights laws. What do you think can come of this?
Well, I think a couple of things. I mean, I think that right on the level of defunding Planned Parenthood, which the Republican Congress has said it's for, and President Trump has said he's for, Planned Parenthood is a health service that a lot of women in red states that voted for Trump use. And I think that there's certainly an immediate hope that they will get cold feet on moving quickly forward on that. I mean, I think there's sort of a combination of trying to slow whatever it is that President Trump and the Republican Congress are planning. You know, it's also, I think, I can't remember a march on Washington for any president in modern history. And I think if I'm checking against the inauguration, right after the inauguration, except I think there was one after the second inauguration of Richard Nixon. I am not mistaken, that was the last time there was a massive march on Washington around an inauguration. And we're just in a really interesting historical period because Trump controls the White House. The Republicans control both houses of Congress, and Trump is about to appoint a Supreme Court nominee. So that obviously gives him enormous powers. And yet the things he's said and done during the election have made him less and less popular. He did get a post-election bounce, but now he is slipping in approval ratings. And I think what the hope of the organizers is today is to suggest to Republicans that might be willing to rapidly go along with everything that President Trump is proposing, or Democrats who might be wavering in their resistance, to stiffen their spines and to suggest that there are a lot of people out there and not just in the coastal states. And I think that's interesting because we just heard from a rally in Little Rock. I've seen pictures of one in Asheville, North Carolina, in St. Louis. Those are in states that all voted for Trump for president.
Let's go to WNYC's Sarah Barrett at the New York March at 47th and 1st. Hi, Sarah. Can you hear me?
Hi, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Can hear you just fine. What's going on?
Things are just starting to get moving. We are backed up way, you can see, from to the north and to the south. And people are getting really excited to actually start the march from this side of the plaza.
And have you spoken to a lot of people? Are people saying pretty much the same kinds of things, a diverse array of kinds of things about why they're there?
There's definitely a diverse array of why people are here. I spoke to one woman who said that she was a teacher for 35 years, and she, you know, she dedicated her life to teaching people how to be kind to each other and not be bullies. And she's worried about the fact that we may have just elected, as she said, the world's biggest bully. And I'm here with a young woman named Alexandria Campbell from New Jersey. And I'm going to pass the phone to her. She has a couple things to say to you as well.
Great.
Hello.
Hi there. Thanks so much for coming on the air with us. It's Brian Lehrer and Andrea Bernstein here in our studio. How are you feeling today? Why are you there?
I'm awesome. You know, I'm seeing people from all walks of life. I'm seeing kids, seeing old people. I'm here because I believe that every woman has the right to feel safe and every woman has the right to control her own body. You know, my sign says zero tolerance for bigotry, fascism, and pussy grabbing. I feel like every woman should be able to be safe anywhere, anytime, in any condition.
Do you have any sense that you're going to be heard by President-elect? I have to get used to calling President Trump now. Do you have any sense you're going to be heard? You're going to call him Donald?
I'm going to call him Donald. That's what his name is.
Any sense you're going to be heard? Do you have confidence?
That I'm going to be, I don't have confidence that I'm going to be specifically heard, but I have confidence that Donald cannot ignore this march and this movement. He cannot ignore what's going on in D.C., New York, Philly, and all over the world. So women will be heard. I don't know if I'll be heard specifically, but we're here and he's going to pay attention.
Thank you very much for giving us a few minutes. Good luck out there. Let's go back to the stage in Washington where California Senator Kamala Harris is speaking.
And folks would come up to me and they'd say, Kamala, talk to us about women's issues. And I'd look at them and I'd say, I'm so glad you want to talk about the economy. I'd say, great, let's talk about the economy because that's a woman's issue. I'd say, you want to talk about women's issues? Let's talk about national security. You want to talk about women's issues? That's fantastic. Let's talk about health care. Let's talk about education. Let's talk about criminal justice reform. Let's talk about climate change. Because we all know the truth. If you are a woman trying to raise a family, you know that a good-paying job is a woman's issue. If you're a woman who is an immigrant who does not want her family torn apart, you know that immigration reform is a woman's issue. If you are a woman working off student loans, you know the crushing burden of student debt is a woman's issue. If you are a black mother trying to raise a son, you know black lives is a woman's issue. And if you are a woman, period, you know we deserve a country with equal pay and access to health care, including a safe and legal abortion, protected as a fundamental and constitutional right. So all of this is to say, my sisters and brothers, that we are tired as women of being relegated to simply being thought of as a particular constituency or demographic. We together are powerful, and we are a force that cannot be dismissed or written off onto the sidelines. But I've got to tell you what we all know is this. We've got our work cut out for us, and it's going to get harder before it gets easier. I know we will rise to the challenge, and I know we will keep fighting no matter what, because we've got the power. And I promise that I, along with my sisters and brothers on this stage, will be fighting for you every single day, and I know fight we will do and fight we will win, especially when they say it's unwinnable, especially especially when they say that you might be the only one like you in that room. We know we will always be in that room together. So in closing, here's how I think we should be thinking about today. This was a day for all of us to come together in our nation's capital, to be seen, to be heard, to be felt. Today is also a day we must recommit our power and our purpose, and let's make today a beginning. Let's buckle in, because it's going to be a bumpy ride, and then let's go back to Ohio and New York and Florida and California, and let's get to work.
Democratic Senator Kamala Harris from California. This is our coverage of the women's marches in New York, Washington, and elsewhere today. An unprecedented day of protest, which follows an unprecedented inauguration. Stay with us.
Another flow. Every time I hear a brother call a girl a bitch or a hoe, trying to make a sister feel low, you know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this.
This is special coverage of the women's marches in Washington, New York, and around the country and around the world on WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer with Andrea Bernstein. Let's take a call next from Claire in London. Claire, thank you so much for a transatlantic phone call. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
So is there a march? Were you there?
I was, absolutely. Just got home a little while ago.
Tell us about it.
My husband and some friends and I, we're Americans living in London, and we had to participate.
How big was it, as far as you could tell, or if the media there is reporting?
It was hard to estimate, but the media is saying about 100,000.
That's a lot for, you know, a rally outside the country that it's aimed at.
Hello, this is Andrea Bernstein. I'm curious, who was there at the march in London, and did you get a sense of sort of what the motivations were?
It was a very diverse crowd. Actually, we weren't sure if it would be predominantly Americans, but I would say it wasn't. I think that there were plenty of Americans there. There were a lot of Europeans, plenty of Londoners with families. So not all transplants at all.
Any sense of why they were there protesting a U.S. president?
I think for the same reasons that my friends are in Washington and New York City. All the same reasons. The placards said the same things that I've seen online from the other marches.
Did Brexit?
Rejection of hate and trying to be to make positive statement and rejection of what's happening in Washington right now.
Did Brexit come into it at all? For
a little bit. I did see some signs that made reference to Brexit, yes.
Brian, I think it's interesting because other than the march that you mentioned earlier about the Iraq war, I can't remember a march in London specifically aimed at a U.S. president, maybe ever in my memory.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because my husband and I were having that same conversation afterwards and wondering if the shoe was on the other foot, not just here in London, but would this happen in the U.S.? Would there be a protest of anywhere near this magnitude about politics outside of the U.S., that people are so clued in and aware of what's happening and feel that it is making an impact on their lives
and
here
of course,
in Europe.
The U.S. as the biggest global superpower inspires reactions around the world, because what happens here has so much impact around the world, maybe more than what happens on an issue like Brexit, even though that, of course, has other global, you know, worldwide ripples. But I think it's perceived around the world as at another level when it's from the United States.
Absolutely.
Did you have a sense that people were reacting at all to the inauguration speech that President Trump gave, where he was talking about America first?
That's a good question. It was in our minds as Americans, but I didn't speak to anybody else or see any placards relating to that. There were plenty relating to Trump himself and some of the language that he used during the election that I can't repeat. That was probably the most popular word that I saw on placards.
Claire, thank you very much. And it's an indication of why we decided to do this special coverage today. We don't do special coverage every time there's a protest or every time there's an event of any kind. But after the inauguration of Donald Trump yesterday, which of course we covered live, here is what to my mind is only the second time that I've been working in the news business that there's been a real global protest with significant numbers in so many places, making it a huge news event. The only other time I could think of is that February weekend in 2003, just before the Iraq War.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's true, and there are seem to be marches all over the country in a lot of red states, including Pennsylvania and Maine, as well as New York and D.C. So obviously there are people trying to say it's just some coastal elites, but the marches around the country and the world suggest otherwise.
New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is speaking from the stage in D.C. now. Let's listen.
Woman and girl in this country has the chance to reach their God-given potential that America will not reach hers.
That's right.
We only have 20% of women in Congress, and many of them and our male colleagues stand here firmly for you. But I promise you, if we had 51% of women in Congress, do you think we'd be debating access to contraception? Do you think we would be debating whether to have paid leave? Do you think it would be so hard to end sexual assault on college campuses and in our military? It would not. This is the moment of the beginning of the revival of the women's movement. This is the moment you will remember when women stood strong and stood firm and said never again. This is the moment that you are going to be heard.
I'm leaving.
It's now her turn.
New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand speaking from the stage at the Women's March in Washington and on Washington. WNYC's Yasmin Khan is at the march. Yaz, I want to ask you about security, because in D.C. yesterday, as you know, there was street violence after the inauguration with about 200 people arrested. And I'm just curious how that affected march organizers today or D.C. police or any other security arrangements for this big march.
From my perspective, from my literal perspective where I've been on the streets, I have seen maybe two police officers. I have not. And driving in here from Baltimore, I saw cop car after cop car, some cops on motorcycles. But down here, I haven't seen any. And another actually marcher made this comment to me, too. I can see in the distance some lights, and they might, the police might be closer to the rally area. You know, I had to come back a couple of blocks to connect on the phone. But I don't know why that is or what the strategy is. I guess the atmosphere here is pretty positive and peaceful. Certainly a show of strength, but pretty peaceful from my perspective.
And you haven't seen any counter demonstrators or hecklers or people getting into confrontations. I realize you can't be everywhere, but
right. I haven't. I really am just seeing people who are here for this purpose. Aside from a small group of I think evangelicals were preaching something, but that was on a street corner a couple of blocks away. The mood is, like I said, it's very positive, but people are very serious about their message and about the fact that they are feeling outraged. But I think that people are just really feeding off of the energy of each other and just sort of the massive outpouring that is happening. And that in and of itself is making people feel positive and hopeful and energized about, you know, their cause or their causes, because there's certainly a laundry list of causes that they're here for.
Hey, yes, it's Andrea. I'm wondering if you have any sense of the emotional arc of people from yesterday to today. I know that you rode down with some New Yorkers going down, and I'm wondering if you had a sense of how they were feeling after the inaugural speech and if there it's changed at all being in Washington among like-minded people.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly for people who are really not okay with a President Trump, yesterday was a really bad day, and today is a way to sort of feel empowered in some way. You know, I was out, I was in Baltimore last night, and everybody that I saw there was basically here for this march, too. And even the people working in restaurants were saying, oh, thank God that it's people who are here for the march. We were afraid that we were going to get people who had been to the inauguration or whatever. You know, so I think I certainly was getting the perspective of it was a down day for people yesterday. You know, it was a sad day for people who opposed President Trump. And right now, I mean, today, I just again, there's a sort of sense of positivity, of hope. But you know, Andrew, you had even spoken earlier about young women who are sort of feeling energized for the first time to come out and be active, you know, especially women who had really, you know, grown up with President Obama. And I'm seeing lots of young women, but I'm also seeking out older women who are like, I can't believe we have to be here and do this again. You know, that I spoke to one woman who was a first-time activist, but I found a couple of others who had been out in the streets protesting against the Vietnam War, who had been out in the streets, you know, for women's rights and to fight for the right to safe abortions 40, 50 years ago. And they are saying, I can't believe that we have to do this again, but that's why we're showing up.
Yes, just give me a thumbnail estimate from your own eyes of the female-to-male ratio of the crowd in D.C.
Women definitely outnumber men, but there are a number of men here, more than I thought that I would see. I don't know. I think it's definitely more than 51% of women here at the march.
Although one of the men who was there was John Kerry, who was yesterday the Secretary of State and today is out marching.
A protester.
And I ran into John King, former Secretary of Education, right outside the Department of Education building. He was here with his family, first day as a citizen.
Private citizen. WNYC's Yasmeen Khan at the Washington March. We'll keep checking in with you. And let's go next to Julia, who's calling from Boston, where there's a women's march. Hi, Julia. You're on WNYC.
Hello. The Boston Common is packed today. I don't think I've ever seen so many people on the Boston Common at once. It looks completely solid.
And are there speeches?
Oh, yeah. You should have heard the cheer when Elizabeth Warren started speaking. She's very popular here in Boston.
Is there anything she said that stuck with you?
Yeah, well, she really spoke up about police brutality and protecting people of color, which was a popular sentiment with the crowd. I've seen a lot of young people in the crowd. Boston is a university town. There's probably more universities per square mile here than anywhere else. And it's been really exciting seeing so many young people. I'm a student here myself, and I've spoken to a lot of students who said that this is their first time coming out to a protest ever. And I've also spoken to immigrants. So I have a sign in Spanish. I'm Latina myself, and I've spoken to some immigrants who have said to me that this is their first protest in America, which I think is great.
The fact that it's billed and framed as a women's march, it sounds like it means more than that to you, or is that the heart of it for you?
I think it is more than that. I mean, it's definitely a women's march, but I've seen other signs in Spanish. I've seen a lot of people with Black Lives Matter signs. I think that this is really a march for everyone who feels threatened by the administration, and that's not just women.
Thank you so much for checking in with us from Boston. We really appreciate you giving us a few minutes.
You're welcome.
And let's go next to Shelby in Belmont, Texas. Shelby,
Beaumont.
You're on WNYC. Hello from Beaumont. Hi.
Beaumont, yes.
Which shows this New Yorker's ignorance. Tell everybody in New York who, as far as they know, you know, Texas is next to Chicago or whatever it is.
Where's
I'm making fun of our own. Where's Beaumont?
Beaumont is in the very, very corner between, right next to Louisiana and New Orleans. We're just a hop, skip, and a jump from there on the Gulf. And there's it's a very relatively small town. I can't tell you how many there are. There's less, a couple hundred thousand, I'm guessing. I'm not sure. Don't jump me on that. I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, it's a pretty small area. Very, very, very conservative. And we're really, we really have been really excited about how many people have joined, because we didn't think we were going to get that many. So we had probably around 300, 350 people marching.
And, of course, this isn't theoretical there in Texas. The abortion rights battle is fierce and very real for a lot of Texas women.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
What is it to you, Shelby? What's the motivation for you to be here? What message do you want to deliver since you have the airwaves for a minute?
I want to deliver a hopeful message. I want to be positive and go forward. I want to unite everyone who has these progressive agendas and try and get them to understand the importance of participating in democracy. And particularly, there's a guide called indivisibleguide.com, and they are telling us give us a guide as to how we can have our voice heard. And it's more than just calling your senators and representatives. It's more letting your senators and representatives know your faith and know your story. That's really important. And not to give up, you've got to be really, really tenacious. But I think that we can be heard if we are tenacious and we are positive and not trying to tear people down and throwing insults around. Our march was very positive.
Shelby,
and very peaceful.
Thank you so much for calling us from Beaumont, Texas. We really appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Let's
Thank
go
you.
Next to Shauna, who's calling from Paris, which probably more New Yorkers can find on a map than can find San Antonio. Hi, Shauna. Hello from New York.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good. Is there a march? Was there a march in Paris?
There was a march. There indeed was a march. It started at 2 o'clock this afternoon at Trocadero. We had a fabulous backdrop of the Eiffel Tower. And there were just hundreds and hundreds. I can't even tell you how many people were there, men and women. A lot of the American expat community. I could hear a lot of English being spoken, but a lot of French women also, who were showing solidarity with their American sisters. They were carrying posters of Simone de Beauvoir and Simone Weil and chanting, and it was very, very exciting. And we walked from Trocadero to the École Militaire, and there were Balkan brass bands playing along with us, and it was a wonderful showing of solidarity.
Can I ask, was there a Muslim presence that was obvious or substantial?
I did not notice that. There was a cross section of population here. I did not notice any I did not see women in headscarves. There were a lot of people who were wearing hats because it's quite cold here. It was colder than it was even in New York. So there were a lot of pink hats, but I didn't see what religion people were other than that.
And did it feel more like a women's rights or human rights march or an anti-Trump march?
Both.
Do you have a sense that – hi, it's Andrea Bernstein. Do you have a sense that people are specifically reacting to President Trump's inaugural address, or is this just a general feeling about Donald Trump?
I think there's a general feeling of sort of – horror that America has elected somebody like Trump. I think it's really disappointing.
And people believe in
us and our values. And I think the people that I've spoken to are quite shocked that this has taken place.
Shauna, thank you for checking in from Paris. We really appreciate it. This is special coverage of the women's marches in Washington, New York, and around the country and around the world. On WNYC, an hour yet to go. Let your love go.
oh sisters, let's stand up right now. It's never too late to start from the start. Oh wisdom.
This is special coverage of the Women's March on Washington, the local edition here in New York, and for that matter, the apparently scores of other rallies and marches being held in solidarity and to protest Donald Trump around the country and around the world today. Good afternoon again, everyone. I'm Brian Lehrer. Along with WNYC's Andrea Bernstein here in New York, we have reporters at rallies both in New York and Washington, and we have you on the phones. And we'll reiterate the request that we put out to some of you last hour, which apparently was very successful, to invite your friends who are at rallies elsewhere in the country and elsewhere in the world. If you know somebody who is in some far-flung place from a New York perspective, call them or text them or something and invite them to call in. We heard from London. We heard from Paris. We heard from Beaumont, Texas. We heard from Little Rock, Arkansas. So call in locally if you're at or were at the New York March. Call in if you're hearing us from the Washington March, or get in touch with those people you know around the world as we hear the voices from around the world if they choose to call in. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number, 212-433-9692. And before we go back to some calls and go back to the stage in D.C. and some excerpts that we recorded earlier, Andrea, there's enough news in the last day since Donald Trump was sworn in to give us a sense of why a lot of people with different politics want to protest Donald Trump. There's already an executive order affecting Obamacare. There's already one affecting a federal court ruling against the strict voter ID law in Texas. You were just telling me, I hadn't seen this for myself, that the President of the United States website has been changed to take down things having to do with LGBT rights and a few other issues. You want to fill us in on that? That website change?
Yeah, so this is the White House website, and I think that anybody who is subscribed to the POTUS account, which is President of the United States, obviously it was messages from Barack Obama, and then immediately, beginning at 12 noon, messages from Donald Trump. Same for the press feeds that I'm getting. And the White House website fairly immediately switched over to have, instead of messages and sections concerning climate change and LGBT rights, it was replaced with America First domestic policy, America First foreign policy, supporting our troops and our military. Elections have consequences. And I think that President Trump is making it clear that he is going to immediately change the messaging. The LGBT rights thing is quite interesting because I do think Trump slid in on a wink to the gay community. But, of course, many people who voted for him and perhaps decisively were evangelicals who wanted him to support a Supreme Court judge who would reverse the same-sex marriage decision. And then, of course, Mike Pence. He came on the national scene defending a law, a so-called religious freedom law that allowed vendors to discriminate against lesbian and gay couples, for example, people wanting to buy gay wedding cakes. Mike Pence came on the scene as a national figure in the spring of 2015, right before the Supreme Court marriage decision. So I don't think it should come as a huge surprise that that's now been scrubbed from the White House website.
In a minute, I want to get your take on this very confusing Obamacare executive order. But let's go back to the stage where Scarlett Johansson is speaking in D.C.
That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister. Support my mother. Support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives. Support my daughter, who may actually actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards, and who may potentially not have the right to make choices for her body and her future that your daughter Ivanka has been privileged to have. I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things, including the fight to be recognized as individuals who know better for ourselves what is right for our bodies, better than any elected official, popular or otherwise. It is a great honor for me to be speaking here in front of all of you today. After the result of this November's election, I felt as a woman, as an American citizen, a great weight bearing down on my shoulders, the feeling that the near future would present many obstacles, confrontation, and division. My immediate thought after hearing the election results was, oh man, we have so much work to do. But once the heaviness began to subside, I realized that an opportunity has presented itself to make real long-term change, not just for future Americans, but in the way that we view our responsibilities to get involved with and stay active in our communities. Let this weight not drag you down, but help to get your heels stuck in. I pledge my relentless devotion to support women's healthcare initiatives. I will not stop fighting to make basic women's healthcare available to all. I believe with every fiber of my being that the conversations that we have with our partners and our doctors about what we do with our bodies and our future should not be made fodder for any politician, political agenda, lawmaker, and for-profit corporation. We must stand up for what are our basic human rights and always move forward, never backwards. The current political administration benefits from taking the power away from us. Don't give up your power. Don't let the feelings of helplessness make you complacent. I urge you all to make a difference on the ground. Volunteer. Volunteer with organizations that help women seeking a safe place to make some of the most difficult decisions of their lives. Donate to causes.
Well, they gave Scarlett Johansson a lot of time at the stage in Washington, D.C. at the Women's March on Washington. Let's see what kind of event they had in Trenton today. Sweeney is calling from Trenton. Hi, Sweeney. You're on WNYC.
Good afternoon, Brian, and bonjour tout le monde.
Bonjour tout le monde.
It's hello to everyone in the world, everyone listening.
I know. So what happened in Trenton today?
It was a wonderful, completely peaceful, very crowded, very active assembly onto the steps of the State House. And I just wanted to call especially to make note of an appeal that was made by, I can't remember the name of the woman who made the announcement. She was a member of the New Jersey Senate, and she announced that this coming Monday at 2 o'clock, there was a very important vote taking place in the New Jersey Senate. And was called a bill override or an override bill. I'm sorry, I don't have the specifics, but it is the nature of it is to ensure equal pay for equal work for women. And everyone at the rally was encouraged to not make this a one-day bit of activism, but here was an invitation to continue it as early as Monday, appealing to everyone in New Jersey and everyone to come out and show their support for this bill, which will ensure equal pay for equal work for women.
Sweeney, thank you very much. Andrea Bernstein, you cover Chris Christie sometimes. Are you familiar with this particular New Jersey legislation?
I can't say that I am. I mean, obviously, New Jersey is a Democratic-controlled legislature and a as of now, very unpopular Republican governor who was still able to control the Democrats for a long time. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. Although I just note now, having heard from New Jersey, that there are New Jersey, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, California, Illinois, Colorado, New York, and D.C., not a state, but a red, a blue area, who have marches today. And I have also been hearing of marches in Park City, Utah, Portland, Maine, Mississippi, Arkansas, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Idaho, Indiana, Georgia, and Mississippi. So it does seem that there is quite the national outpouring across the country, which is something that I am trying to think back. I mean, I don't really remember there being so many simultaneous marches. And I think that it speaks to this historical moment where you have an incoming president with very low approval. Obama's was upwards, was past 80%, and Trump's is below 50%. And obviously, he didn't win the popular vote by a lot. And I think that this is an interesting, although not only American reaction. We've had calls from London, Paris, and there's a march in Antarctica, or a march, quote, in Antarctica.
The New York Times counts 60 locations around the world at which they were anticipating anti-Trump or women's rights rallies today, London to Seoul to Johannesburg to Mexico City to Antarctica and lots of other places. Let's go back to the stage in D.C. where one of the co-chairs of the entire Women's March on Washington, Carmen Perez, is speaking.
Know that those closest to the problem are also closest to the solution. Trust them. Stand with them in your actions. Because I believe what Fannie Lou Hamer said, when I liberate myself, I liberate others. And if you don't speak, ain't nobody gonna speak on behalf of you. Right. And to those threatening us and our livelihood, I say, si no nos dejan soñar, no los vamos a dejar dormir. Right. If they don't let us dream, we will not let you sleep. We stand here on day one of the new administration, refusing to let them sleep, not for one second. We will hold all our officials, whether elected or appointed, accountable. There are some in this country who say we should adjust to work with and adjust to hatred. But Dr. Martin Luther King spoke of the power of being maladjusted to an unjust society. We will not adjust to hatred and bigotry. We will resist Islamophobia, xenophobia, white supremacy, sexism, racism, misogyny, and ableism. We will be brave, intentional, and unapologetic in addressing the intersections of our identities. And collectively, we will stand up for the most marginalized among us, because they are us. We will not wait for some magical being to rise up and save us. We are not helpless. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are who we need. When I see my liberation bound in your liberation and you in mine, together we will get free. So remember, when you go back home, think about why you marched and organize, organize, organize. Si se puede. Thank you.
Carmen Perez from the main stage at the Women's March on Washington. She's the co-chair of the Women's March, one of the four co-chairs. This is special coverage of the Women's March on Washington, the local edition here in New York, and for that matter, the apparently scores of other rallies and marches being held in solidarity and to protest Donald Trump around the country and around the world today. I'm Brian Lehrer with Andrea Bernstein, and we'll continue in a minute. The election of Donald Trump has sparked this unprecedented amount of protest around the world, unprecedented for any time since probably the weekend of February 15th, 2003, when people marched all over the world against the impending Iraq war. Our coverage will continue in a minute. We'll go to our next break, listening to a little bit of a protest song that was released this week by Fiona Apple, ungently titled Tiny Hands.
Grab him by the pussy.
Girl.
You can do anything.
Hey, boo-boos. Phoebe Robinson here, host of WNYC Studios' hip podcast, Two Dope Queens. Join me and some of the hottest comedians in the game for Bullseye Comedy Night at BAM. I'll be taking the stage and telling some jokes with fancy people like Solomon Giorgio, Maeve Higgins, and Hari Kondabolu. So meet me at Radio Love Fest, that's Saturday, February 11th at 7:30, and get ready to laugh. Tickets and a full schedule at wnyc.org/Radio Love Fest. Get some love.
WNYC is supported by City National Bank, providing loans and lines of credit to New York businesses. More information at cnb.com/grownewyork.
Grab by the pussy. Grab by the pussy.
All right, so that's the Fiona Apple protest song. You get the idea of where that's going, released this week in opposition to the inauguration of Donald Trump as president of the United States. This is special coverage of the women's marches in Washington, New York, and around the country and around the world. On WNYC, I'm Brian Lehrer with WNYC's Andrea Bernstein. Andrea, I want to get back to the executive order that President Trump issued yesterday, his first half day in office, about Obamacare. It's very confusing. It's very vague, but it might have very broad implications for people very quickly when we thought we were going to have to wait for Congress to debate what kind of repeal, what kind of replacement, how simultaneously with repeal. But what exactly did President Donald Trump do?
So the executive order he signed would, quote, ease the burden of Obamacare. And it's very unclear what that means. The White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer gave very little indication, almost no explanation. It seems to be a signal to states that if they stop complying with Obamacare provisions, the federal government won't be enforcing the law, although I am, frankly, just guessing because we have not been given an explanation. But
the wording of the order had something to do with not aggressively enforcing things about the Obamacare law, the Affordable Care Act, that would place burdens on people, right?
Right. And I think that the thing that they refer to that they complain about most is the idea of the individual mandate, that you have to buy health insurance, which is, many economists have pointed out, the plank on which the entire edifice rests, that if you don't have everybody buying in, then the healthy people won't buy in, the sick people will, and the system will collapse. So this is as yet unsolved conundrum that President Trump faces on Obamacare. But
and yet it's written in the law
that
if people don't have insurance, they're supposed to pay a tax penalty enforced and collected by the IRS.
Exactly.
And an executive order cannot undo that. But at the same time, he signed an order telling people not to burden the public. And so I'm really confused.
Right. It seems to suggest that if you don't go ahead and do that, no one's coming after you. Now, of course, we don't know. It's confusing, but it's certainly a signal. And I think that there is a smaller and smaller part of the population that didn't vote for Donald Trump that is sort of thinking he's not going to be so bad. He's not going to go through with these things. I think it's pretty clear from his utterances, his cabinet selection, that he is absolutely set on repealing the Affordable Care Act as soon as possible, getting ahead even of his own party, Republicans in the House, who many of them face elections in 2 years, are getting a little nervous about what that means because, of course, the Affordable Care Act covers millions and millions of exactly the people that voted for Donald Trump, who they themselves didn't believe that it was actually going to be repealed.
Well, we said the protests today are taking place all over the world, and Jonathan is calling from Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Hi, Jonathan. You're on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hey,
you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good. Are you a New Yorker over there?
I am a New Yorker over here, just for a quick visit.
Thanks for checking in. What did you do? What did you see?
I just had a ability to participate in a great march. The media is reporting about 3,000 people today in Amsterdam, filled with the message of inclusion, anti-hate, and pro-peace messages. It was really terrific.
Jonathan, thank you very much for checking in, and I'm going to jump right out and go back to the stage because a New York co-organizer of the entire march, one of the four co-chairs, Linda Sarsour from here in New York, from an Arab-American and Muslim-American rights group, is speaking now.
Past 15 years, sisters and brothers, if you have come here today as your first time at a march, I welcome you. I ask you to stand and continue to keep your voices loud for Black women, for Native women, for undocumented women, for our LGBTQIA communities, for people with disabilities. You can count on me, your Palestinian Muslim sister, to keep her voice loud, keep her feet on the streets, keep my head held high, because I am not afraid. Sisters and brothers, fear is a choice. We are the majority. We are the conscience of these United States of America. We are this nation's moral compass. If you want to know if you are going the right way, follow women of color, sisters and brothers. We know where we need to go, and we know where justice is, because when we fight for justice, we fight for it for all people, for all our communities. I want to remind you that the reason why you are here today is because mothers and yoga teachers and organizers and bakers came out to organize. Ordinary people made this happen. No corporate dollars, no money from corporations. This is your dollars. This is your work. This is you made this happen. I am honored to stand here today on the stage as a national co-chair with Tamika and Carmen, who are my sisters, but also with my family, because I organize for my mother, I march for my daughters and all of my children. But most of all, I am my Palestinian grandmother who lives in occupied territories. Wildest dream, sisters and brothers, and I'm so proud to be here with all of you. Justice for all.
Linda Sarsour, one of the four co-chairs of the Women's March on Washington, live coverage here on WNYC. There is, of course, the march in New York taking place at the same time. And let's talk to one of our callers who's at that march. Here is Felicia at 47th and 1st, unless she's moved on by now. Felicia, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. I'm here. I'm calling in. I'm here with my daughter, Safia. She's the one who wanted to talk to you today about her experience here. Can I put her on?
Sure can.
Hold on. Hello.
Hi. Is it Saskia? Is that your name?
Yes.
Hey there. How old are you?
So I'm just here, and there are a lot of people, because Donald Trump may not be the best person for this country.
How old are you, Saskia?
I'm 9 years old.
All right. What makes you think Donald Trump might not be the best person for this country?
He insulted a baby.
He insulted a baby?
Yes, he did.
I missed that one. What did he say to the baby?
So a lady has had her child, and then the child started crying when he was at a speech. And then he got really mad, and I forgot what he said, but he said some very mean stuff.
Saskia's right. He said, get it out of here.
Oh, that.
The baby at the rally.
Right. He wanted, didn't want a crying baby at the rally.
He did try to walk it back afterwards and say he was just joking, but that is what he said.
Saskia, is it your first political event?
Yes.
What does it feel like?
Honestly, I don't really know.
That's honest. We need more honesty. Do you want to put your mom back on, or she just want you to speak?
Mommy can come back on.
Okay. Thanks.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
You have a wonderful daughter.
Thank you very much.
You want to take a minute of airtime and tell us why you're there today?
We're here. We came out today just to participate, to be a part of something that hopefully could... I got a little nervous, Brian.
That's okay. So I'll ask you a question.
It's really just about equality and representation and participation. Just to stand up for everybody who have been marginalized. And he seems to want to push more and more people towards the edges. And we're here to say that that's not okay.
What would you say to Trump supporters who might ask, he just got into office, why don't you give him a chance before you decide whether you want to protest him?
Well, I'm actually not here to protest him. I'm not against him so much as I'm for everybody else. So if he can prove that he's going to be for everybody else, then I have less of an issue with that, besides all my other feelings about his misogyny and racism.
Felicia, thank you for calling in, and thanks for putting your daughter on, too.
Thank you, Brian.
And let's go next to a marcher in D.C., Callie. Callie, do we have you?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Thanks for your patience. I know you've been holding on a while, and I think you know Andrea Bernstein, our co-host. Is that right?
Hi, Callie.
I do. Hello.
What's it like there in Washington? What do you see?
It is extremely crowded right now. We're still waiting to begin marching, but, like, the streets are completely filled. There are signs everywhere, people standing, so much excitement, so much love, and just, it's a really amazing atmosphere.
I'm wondering, Callie, how you felt yesterday, and if you feel like you have really had a change in emotions over the course of the last 24 hours.
I most definitely had. I have to say, yesterday I was watching the inauguration, and at one point I just had to turn it off because I was like, it's just so hard for me to watch this man take office and to know that I have so many friends with so many different identities that he so often invalidates. And it's like, that is not someone I want to support, and that's not someone I'm going to support. But then to come out here and see the exact opposite, to see so many people from all these different identities coming out together and supporting each other, like speaking out for each other, promising to be here, holding hands together. Like, it just, it's fantastic.
Brian, the AP is reporting that the march is too big to march, that people are jammed in the streets and can't walk forward. It sounds like Callie is caught in that.
Oh, yeah.
Callie, thank you so much for checking in. We really appreciate it. Here's someone else who I think is calling to say she's caught in that. Angela from Brooklyn is at the D.C. March. Angela, hi. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
You're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up a bit, but let's give it a shot. Set the scene.
Well,
phone
so much better because I'm not near the stage.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're in and out, but let's try.
Okay. It's amazing. I was saying that thank you for keeping me on hold because I can hear the speakers on the phone.
Oh, good.
Much more than I'm not close to the stage. It's crazy here, but it's amazing. I'm so glad I'm here. It's incredible.
What's been an incredible part?
Well, you know, a couple times I got caught in log jams of people and, you know, places where I should have been afraid because it was just so crowded and I couldn't move, but people have just been so wonderfully kind. And I think that the thing that's so great about it is the spirit is really positive, but it's also extremely motivated, if that makes sense. It's like people are just determined, but in a positive way. It's not anger. It's just a real positive motivation. It's great.
Determined to what? Put it in your own words.
make some changes. I think what people have been saying is the march is important, but even more important is what happens tomorrow. And I feel like people are gearing up for, you know, to make some really positive changes.
Angela, thank you so much. Good luck there. Let's stay in D.C. Let's go to Elizabeth, who says she's in front of the Smithsonian. Elizabeth, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel like I'm on cloud nine. It's amazing. There's so much incredible energy. It's so uplifting spiritually. I can't tell you. After yesterday, I'm feeling a little better.
Can you tell us a story?
Yeah, it's just wall-to-wall people. I have not seen the same sign twice. Just everyone's creativity, everyone's supporting everyone, giving away free water, just being really considerate. There are tons of men who are supporting women. It's really incredible. One man had a sign that he was there for his 88-year-old mother. She made him come.
She made him come.
I don't know. It's just all ages. There are babies dressed in cat outfits. It's hilarious and sad and scary and inspiring and energizing all at the same time.
It's good that there's a sense of humor in among.
Yes, there is. And every once in a while I start the Fiona Apple song, We Don't Want Your Tiny Hands Anywhere Near Our Underpants. I start that chant every once in a while, and it gets like a good energy going through the crowd.
Is there a sign that you remember, since you said there were some creative signs?
Yeah, I have a two-sided Nerf sword as a handle. And one side says, we are the gender majority. And the other side is an anagram for Trump that is the racist, un-American, misogynist, quote, president. So that's the sign I'm sporting today.
Elizabeth, thank you for checking in with us.
Thanks.
And, you know, Brian, I see that Senator Charles Schumer has joined the march in New York, which is really saying something. Schumer is not necessarily an activist senator. I think that he is obviously the most powerful Democrat in Congress now. He's the Senate minority leader. And the fact that he is showing up at this women's issue march, I think, is a very strong signal of his willingness to be scrappy on this issue, which, you know, he's a sort of a kind of a deal maker, a pragmatist, and I can't recall seeing him at many protests. So I think that that does send a signal about the kind of discourse in Washington. Obviously, we heard New York's other Senator Gillibrand from the stage, Kamala Harris from California, Elizabeth Warren speaking in Boston. There seems to be a willingness to see for there to be a real Senate opposition. And, you know, the institution of the United States Senate has historically been sort of the more deliberative body. So the fact that they are all out on this post-inauguration day of protests, I think, does say something about the direction of the discussion to come.
Here is Shahid calling in, a New York City cab driver. Hi, Shahid. You're on WNYC.
Hi, sir. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How's traffic?
The traffic is crazy about East Side. I went through, and I see the people energy around there is too much energy they have. I park my car, I join them. You know, I was there for a little while, I stayed there. And everything I heard, the people are so desperate, you know, from whatever the speech he made yesterday, the president. So that's what I was worried about. And that's, like, I am a cab driver from New York City. I can make a better speech as a president of the United States.
So you started out the day intending to have a normal work day, and you wound up parking your cab and joining the protest.
Yes, I do, because I'm part of it, you know. It's going to affect me as well, you know. And all of that, you know, I heard the inauguration speech yesterday. And there was no message like harmony and everything. He was targeting something, issues on this. He said, no Democrat, this, that. Our friends have some misperceptions all over the world. I will work with them. He was just out there making a speech like scaring everybody. I'm going after you. So that's not right. He should make a nice speech like We are a friend. We all American. We want to work together. You don't attend my ceremony, this and that, but I'm with you. I'm your president. I'm president who gave me the votes or not vote. That kind of speech, you know, nice way to give the nice message to the world and to the United States. We are great America. It's like that. That's my message.
Shahid, we thank you so much for taking a few minutes and calling in. It was great. Thank you.
And, you know, Brian, I think that this may be symbolic of this day, that there may be people who didn't necessarily think a week ago or even a day ago that they were going to protest and got swept up in them. And the fact that, you know, you didn't have to get on the bus and ride to Washington, but there's one in New York and in so many cities, and in Chicago and in a huge march in St. Louis, which is very striking. That, you know, I think it is absolutely true what Shahid just said about the inaugural address. It didn't mention liberty or freedom or harmony or unity. Instead, it talked about carnage and America first and bringing back our borders. There's a big opening that is created in that space. Trump probably would have done himself some favors by having a message of unity in his inaugural address, but he certainly invited people who didn't like his message to participate in one of these actions today.
This is special coverage of the women's marches in Washington, New York, and elsewhere here on WNYC. As we go to the next break, we're going to play a little bit of a song that came from the stage at the D.C. March a little while ago. This is Aaliyah Sharif. She just performed. She's a hip-hop artist, film director and editor and community activist and founder of the Hijabi Chronicle. Listen to her music.
So I'm coming through to take there, quit the fakeness. Ain't no way that music can be used as a tool to abuse us. Time to wake up, reaffirm your lyrics. If you go with the flow, then you're part of the gimmick. Nah, we don't feel it, your scripted, your image is shifted, and now your lifestyle slipping. Admit it, you ain't even submitting to the realest. Did it all for the skrill, and now we all in the building like, who ready? We was born to be ready. Put your fist up, tell them you're the real revolutionary. Cause when the time comes, who ready to ride? Or is you gonna be sitting there on the sidelines?
Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know. They keep on saying, go slow. That's just the trouble.
Do so.
Washing the windows.
Do so.
Picking the cotton.
Do so.
We're just plain rotten.
And with Nina Simone helping out. This is special coverage of the women's marches in Washington, New York, and around the country and around the world today on WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer with Andrea Bernstein. If you're just joining us, we're doing special coverage today because this has turned into such a huge thing. Marches or rallies in 60 cities around the world, according to the New York Times, from Johannesburg to Seoul and Tokyo to Mexico City to Bogota to so many places in the United States. We've had callers from Paris and Amsterdam and London and on and on and on and on. We're going to play a clip of one of the speeches from the stage from a little while ago. And this is America Ferrera. This is just a minute of America Ferrera talking about immigrants and women in this country.
It's been a heart-rending time to be both a woman and an immigrant in this country. Our dignity, our character, our rights have all been under attack. And a platform of hate and division assumed power yesterday. But the president is not America. His cabinet is not America. Congress is not America. We are America. And we are here to stay. We march today for our families and our neighbors, for our future, for the causes we claim and for the causes that claim us. We march today for the moral core of this nation, against which our new president is waging a war.
America Ferrera speaking a little while ago at the Women's March on Washington. 212-433-WNYC. If you're listening in D.C. or at the march in New York or from anywhere else around the country or around the world, 212-433-9692. And here's Christina calling from Houston. Christina, you're on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hi, New York. I'm a big fan of the show, Brian. I just wanted to say my parents actually encouraged me to call in.
That's great. I did ask people to call their far-flung friends and relatives since we're just really a local New York broadcast, plus whoever's listening on the web. So I'm glad that you got that call. What's happening in Houston?
Thank you. Well, in Houston, they organized the Women's March, and I think they only began organizing it about 2 weeks ago, and I only heard about it 2 days ago from a friend. So my boyfriend and our puppy, we decided to come out today, even though we have a busy day going on later, and there are about 10,000 people. The head of the police department in Houston came to the rally, and he gave a speech saying that they've never seen such a large group of people come together for a cause like this, and it's really heartening to see so many people come out to stand against the hateful rhetoric that Donald Trump has spouted his entire election, and to really show that this is the true America. This is a city of immigrants. This is a country made of immigrants, and we're not going to stand idly by, and we're going to try to make change happen.
Have you ever been to a march yourself in Houston? This is Andrea Bernstein.
Oh, hi. No, I never have been before. I actually only moved here last year. I'm from the New York area, and I was a little bit hesitant to move to Texas, to be honest, but it's really nice to know that Houston is a welcoming city with a lot of diversity, and that we're not alone in this state.
At what point did you decide to come out and march today?
Well, we decided to come for sure yesterday. I have an audition later today for a music festival, but we wanted to make sure we came to the march.
What made you want to do it?
I feel a little bit like I want to be able to do anything to stand up against what Donald Trump has been trying to push through. I mean, this week I've been calling the senators in Texas to express my concern for the different nominees that Trump has put forward for his cabinet. And I feel a little bit like I hope calling Senator Ted Cruz will actually make a difference, because I feel like maybe it won't. But I wanted to just be able to just begin here and do anything that I can to try to be an activist as much as I can in my daily life. And I think just every vote counts, and every person that comes to the march to show Donald Trump that we're not with him, we're against him, is important.
Christina, did you say that the Houston police chief spoke as a person in support of the message of the march?
He did, actually. He said he actually prefaced his few words saying that he wasn't there as a Republican or as a Democrat, but he wanted to say that he'd never seen such a large group of people before at Houston at a protest, and that he also wanted to recognize the women that are in the Houston Police Department, and also to recognize that it's important to lift up the good guys. So,
well, you're one of the good guys to us. Thank you very much for calling from Houston.
Thank you so much for having my call, Brian. Take care.
And let's come right back to New York City, where Gabby is at the Manhattan March. Gabby, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Brian.
How are things?
It is crazy down here. I'm on 47th and Vanderbilt right now, and parts of the march, as far as we can tell, splintered off onto other avenues because of the traffic and the standstills. There's people marching on 48th Avenue as well. It's just totally chaotic, but exciting.
Is it bigger and more crowded than people seem to anticipate?
Yeah, we think that that's part of the problem. We spent over an hour at a standstill on 2nd Avenue, and we
it's hard to tell if other parts of the march have been moving or not. I think it's partly because way more people have turned out than was expected.
Since you have...
Once I checked, it was hundreds of thousands. I'm not sure.
Since you have the platform, you want to tell people why you're going?
Sure, yes. I'm marching with several other domestic violence agencies representing New York City and Westchester County. And so partly we're marching for the victims of domestic violence that we represent and against any cuts that Trump wants to make towards the Violence Against Women Act. We're marching for immigrants. We're marching for people of color. We're marching for queer people. We're marching for everybody who is going to be facing increased oppression and discrimination in this hateful and terrifying fascist administration.
Thank you very much. Good luck out there. Stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And we're getting reports, Andrea, of people kind of spontaneously gathering in relatively small places. We just got one from Metuchen, reporting that people are just gathering spontaneously at Borough Hall in Metuchen, New Jersey. I guess it's contagious, maybe, if it's really spontaneous, as people watch television and hear this and other things that are indicating just how widespread it is today. And maybe size matters, because we can't tell, really, from the estimates that people who are caught up in the excitement of it are giving us. But it seems like the crowds are larger than expected in New York and Washington. We're hearing large numbers from the people calling us from London and Paris, and the caller we just had from Houston, who, if she's quoting accurately, said the police chief said he never saw such a big protest crowd there. So something is being said today.
Right. And I'm seeing now Greensboro, North Carolina, Des Moines, Iowa, pictures of a lot of people gathering. And, you know, this is really something, because it's a sort of reassertion of the value or desire on the part of American people to be amongst one another, to be in a common space. And I think that, you know, as President Trump moves in with control of the White House, Republicans control the Congress, about to appoint a Supreme Court justice. The fact that we had a caller who said, I'm going to call Senator Ted Cruz to give him a piece of my mind. She may not be changing his mind, but in my experience, senators don't like to get a lot of noise. And when they do, it does begin to chip away, even if at the edges.
You know who's on the stage right now in D.C.? Alicia Keys. Let's listen.
Say inside of us, I just want to thank you so much for your courage. Thank you so much for your womanliness. Thank you so much for your strength. Thank you so much. Let us continue to honor all that is beautiful about being feminine. We are mothers. We are caregivers. We are artists. We are activists. We are entrepreneurs. Doctors, leaders of industry and technology, our potential is unlimited. We rise. We rise. We will not allow our bodies to be owned and controlled by men in government or men anywhere for that matter. We will not allow our compassionate souls to get stepped on. We want the best for all Americans. No hate, no bigotry, no Muslim registry. We value education, healthcare, and equality. We will continue to rise until our voices are heard, until our planet's safety is not deferred, until our bombs stop dropping in other lands, until our dollar is the same dollar as a man's. And we continue to recognize that, yes, we can. Until everyone respects Mother Energy, and everyone with a belly button must agree. So I need you to repeat after me. We are here.
We are here.
We're on fire.
We're on fire.
Living in a world.
Living in a world.
That's on fire.
That's on fire.
Feet on the ground. Not backing down. Feet on the ground. Not backing down. This girl is on fire.
Well, as we approach the end of our special coverage of the women's marches in Washington and elsewhere, I think Alicia Keys,
these girls are on fire.
Through the magic of coincidence, may be providing our outro music.
I think it is exactly representative of what these 2 hours of live coverage have been like. All of these marches all across the country, Florida and Idaho and Utah, and people just getting together. I had a text from Brooklyn that Brooklyn is a ghost town. Everybody seems to have left Brooklyn. So a real sense that people want to stand up and be counted, and that is a feeling I think opponents to Trump, who outnumber his supporter, at least according to election results, have been wanting to express. And I think that's what we're seeing today all over the country. It's going to make for an interesting period coming up and may suggest a slowing of some of the legislative and executive moves that are on the way.
So instead of Alicia Keys, we'll give the last musical word to Angelique Kidjo, who sang from the stage a little earlier. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Andrea Bernstein. Thanks for listening to our special coverage.
Somebody keeps telling me don't hang around. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know the chance gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go.